easy to get off the path in Christianity, where little things sneak into your heart and you're not really aware of it, and they occupy your mind. And today we're going to look at pride and how that works, and hope the Lord can instruct us and teach us together as a family. And we're going to worship together. And so why don't we stop and pray and ask God to bless us and teach us. God, thank you that you're in the business of pulling the weeds out of our lives, pulling things out that hinder us and that aren't good, and replacing it and having something grow that's righteous and holy and gives life. And so thank you we get the chance to worship together and sing to you. Pray that you bless us and our hearts, give us faith and wisdom, and help us to enjoy being together. Amen.
Amen. Greet each other, but let's talk about, let's see what we're going to greet each other with today. We sang about God's glory. You know, we are glorious only because of His incredible glory. Everything He touches is glorious. So why don't we greet each other and use whatever adjective you like to use to describe God, and turn to the person next to you and say, you know, God is awesome. You know, awesome is so overused. God is the real awesome one. So turn to each other, greet each other, and say, God, tell people how awesome God is, or whatever adjective you'd like to use. That's good.
God is tubular.
Well, good morning, everyone. So we are continuing in this series on getting off the path. I was thinking about this a little. You know, if we share, normally if you share about God or try to share with someone, this is who God is, He's good, He cares about me or you, and he's gracious, and he is perfect. And a lot of times we go down this road, but there's one thing the Bible talks about quite a bit that we don't, at least I don't tend to talk about as much, and in our culture we don't talk about it. No one likes to think about it. The Bible talks about it all the time. The human heart is deceptive and wicked and sinful. And no one wants to hear that, and we kind of minimize that. We like to think of ourselves and our, but that's what the Bible says. And it's easy to get a little off the path and have these things show up in your life. And as we mature, God wants to pull these things out of our lives. And we're looking at today pride and how that can kind of sneak in to your life in different ways. And not just your life, but people you know, and take the place of what God would want. And so so today we're going to learn about that together. And I have put together a little quiz test for you. And so if you don't have notes, actually not a test, I have some notes. I put them in the bulletin. If you didn't get that, Melinda's going to put your hand up, and Melinda will hand those around, and you can have one. And we're going to stop in a few places and kind of gather some thoughts together, because we all have different experiences, different things we've been exposed to, and it might help us together learn. So So why don't we stop and pray and ask God to bless our time together. God, thank you that you are consistent in helping us to mature in your desire. And please give us a heart to learn today, a heart to lay down the things that aren't important, that aren't for today, that we have no control over. There's many things we worry about, that I worry about, that I really have no control over, Lord, and I want to leave them at your feet. And I want to focus on your word and your promise and having good things grow in my life. I pray that we would all do that today. Amen. Amen. So, what is pride? We need the first slide here, Janelle. What is pride? Pull up the definition there. So, I'm going to look at this, and let's look at this together. I found this definition online. I think it's pretty good, a pretty good description. Pride, a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements, the achievements of those with whom you're closely associated. So it could be, look at me, I work hard, look at what I've done, look at what I've built, look at what I've created. A lot of, in our culture, I don't say worship, but people who are successful in business or financially successful or invest well, we go, wow, look at them, look at what they built. Look at, who's it, Bezos, the founder of Amazon, get out of his way, right? I mean, if he says he's going to do this, everyone reacts, right? We go, wow, look at that. Pride, one's own achievements or the achievements, I'm part of this group. I'm part of this group who has achieved this. You see that, right? I'm part of the Greenwich Yacht Club. I'm part of this. I'm part of that. I'm associated with them. I'm part of this elite group. Or from the qualities that one possesses that are widely admired. Sometimes it can be something you have, something you own. Sometimes it can be even something that's in your personality that you're unusually good at. You're better than most people. I tell great jokes. I'm a comedian. I'm not saying this because we know that's not true about me, but some people are really good at that. I have a joke later. I'll tell you what I mean. But, so it can be something unique that you have. It can be, for some people, how they look, right? Their appeal and their physicality, and that's admired, and they can be proud of that. You know, it's funny. I think all of my boys have been on one or another running or track team here at the high school or cross country or something. And one of the things that struck me is I go to, my wife and I go to a lot of the meets, and here you have all the kids are running by, and they're running as best they can, as fast as they can. And all of us other people are yelling at the children. And we yell things at them. Hurry up! Go faster! Pass these three people before the... You know, and all of the people who can't run as fast as these kids, we're yelling at them intently, like we know, you know. And I go, just, wow. And I thought, you know, it's only a couple years when you can run like that. I mean, you have that ability for 5 years, and then the rest, and then after that, it's all of like us on the sidelines, all the gray-haired people yelling at the children to run faster. It's a brief time of life where you can be proud. You know, so anyway, so what I want to do is I've laid out a couple things here. I'd like you to think about, I gave you your list, maybe list 10 things in people you've seen that you think is maybe common in your neighborhood, your county, your workplace, of things that people are proud of, things that are common. What are things that you see that people are proud of? Let's take a minute and do that. There should be some pencils in your pew and some room on there to write that. Go ahead and write those down. 10 things. How many you got? 5? 6? All right. Anyone willing to share a few of those? You guys in the red shirts, what do you think? Yeah, drones. Drones, right, right. I am honest. I do this. I think the Lord is... I am a drone pilot. You've heard me say it. I'm also not, I am a good drone pilot. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I'm skilled at this. I'm part of this elite pilots club. Matter of fact, I don't even say I'm a drone. I say I'm a pilot. I've been certified, right? I can be proud of that very easily. very easily. I'm part of this elite, specialized club, right? What else? Yeah. Yeah, my kids are very successful. I met one guy one day, and we were just, I didn't know him well, and how are you? His name was Mike, and he said, tell me about your family. He says, my daughter's on the Olympic vaulting team. It was Mike Maroney. His daughter was one of the best vaulters in the world for a couple years. But he told me about that. You know, that was, to him, that was an important thing to mention. What else? Yeah, job, career, right? I am this. I am a accountant. I'm this. If you're proud, it's easy to be proud of that. It's part of, become part of your, what else? Very common in our culture today. Great. And I'm an honors student. It's good to do well in school, but you could be proud of that. Actually, any achievement. What else? Anything else? Where you live. I live in Hampton Hills. I live in Willow Creek. That is a subdivision in West Chicago. Hobbies. Yeah, especially if you're good at them. I'm into woodworking, and I see this, what I made. I made this bench. I made this. Who you know? Yeah. I met Mike Maroney. Yeah, you name dropping, right? Right? Yep. What else? Yeah, any talent, right? Right, something, and so yeah. If you're gifted in something, or yeah, that's right. It, not that gifting is bad. Oh, sorry, Barbie, I missed you. Yeah, I'm a descendant of the Vikings, the conquerors of the ancient world. Right. Yeah. Anything else we're missing? Social status. How do you mean? I have about 300 Facebook friends. I have friends who have 1,300. I'm part of this group, this radio control group, that and we trade stuff back and forth. It's on rcgroups.com. And I go to their website, and it says, you have no friends. I've never bothered to do that, and it makes me feel sad. I go, I have no friends. Right? And I have friends who have more friends, and I go, they have 1,300 friends. What's wrong with me? How come I have no friends? Right? Yeah, possessions. There was one guy who was a relative, a little distant relative, and we were over his house. I'm talking about stuff, and he goes, I want to show you something. He had these old English battle axes. Took it out of, hidden in the back of his closet, showed me. I'd never seen one before. He was proud of those. Yeah. So it can be really a lot of different things. And by themselves, those things aren't all bad. Your ancestry is what your ancestry is. You say, I'm an American. This is my family. It's fun. But at a certain point, it becomes too big. It becomes a preoccupation to have that recognized. So, I was flying my drones downtown on Thursday, and they doing a little thingy, and they said, get some pictures of the lake while you're down there. We want to use that for a promotion and some video. So I was close to the lake. I drove down to Lake Michigan. I think it's Montrose Beach, and I was there. And you know, we had snow either Wednesday or Thursday morning. I can't remember which. We had snow, and it warmed up. The city warmed up. It was almost 50. I had my jacket on and my hat, and I'm down at the beach, you know, taking some photos near the beach. And someone had put up, it's around lunchtime, had put up a volleyball net, and there's about six guys playing volleyball. And there's two or three with their shirts off. And I'm going, wow. No reasonable person on a breezy day on Lake Michigan, I have my jacket on, and I'm going, that's interesting. And I'm a little nearsighted. I squint a little bit, and I go, wow, that guy has an amazing physique. He, not only does he work out, I mean, he looks like he's right out of one of those fitness magazines. You know, I mean, he's there, you know, playing volleyball. You know, I'm exaggerating slightly, but he's there, right? Best I can do. So he's there, and I'm going, and it just hit me a little bit, and I'm going, I got a fall jacket on with my hat, and my hands are cold because I'm flying, and I'm looking, and I'm going, he's proud of his physique. No reasonable person, no one else is walking around with no shirt on, right? And they're there playing volleyball. And I go, well, he's obviously worked hard on this, and he's on display. Look at what I've done. Look at me, you know. When you're 52, you don't do that. You don't do that but at that age, you know, he's handsome, attractive, and obviously put a lot of work into this. And I go, you're trying to get something. You're trying to get, when you're prideful, you're trying to get some attention focused on, look what I've done, look at me. And if I met him, I wouldn't probably tell him that to his face. I'd probably say, wow, looks like you work out, you know. A little bit. I take my shirt off, but I don't want to show you up. And then we laugh together. But so, next slide, please, Janelle. But that's one of the ways pride works. We're trying to get a focus on ourselves. So I was thinking, if you're busy with that, can you be prideful and serve God? If you're busy, and this is a subconscious thing, your mind is trying to build yourself up, look at me and what I've done. Can you serve God if this is happening in your heart? Can you serve other people? If other people, now service is meeting a real need. Here's something someone really needs, and I'm going to help them. That's what God did with us, right? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did with us, is here is their real need. Here is their real need. They need to have their sins forgiven. They need to see a template of what it means to live a selfless life. I'm going to come here and give them that example. If your mind is busy trying to be validated, can you really serve others? Can you be full of pride and serve? Can you do those at the same time? I think it's very hard. The more, and you know, we're all, our heart, there's a lot of things going on in our hearts and our minds at the same time, a lot of different thoughts. But the more pride there is, the harder it is to really serve out of what people even recognize, because you become preoccupied with other things. So I want to look at some of the warnings about pride and look at why they're there. There's lots of warnings in Proverbs in the Scripture about pride. So here's Proverbs 16:8. This is the beginning of some of the warnings. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. There's a connection being made of pride and a certain type of spirit. Let's go to the next set of Proverbs here. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble there is wisdom. So when there is an aspect of pride going on, there's something happening where you're trying to put something forward, who you are, what is important. You're trying to put that forward and get this recognition. But it is hard to be wise. And so with the humble, there's wisdom. With the humble, there's wisdom. So one of the problems with pride is that you're trying to attract an attention that isn't natural. You know, what you really want is people to say, yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. I recognize that. And you're trying to force that to happen in context. So it's hard to be wise and have that when pride is happening. Next one. The scoffer is the name of the arrogant. A haughty man acts with arrogant pride. With arrogant pride. There's an arrogance, which is really to be full of yourself. To be full of yourself, that's what comes first when you have aspects of pride. 29:33, one's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. So part of the warning is, the pride, promoting yourself, putting that forward will not bring a good result. But humility and a humble spirit will bring honor. I was thinking, you know, practically, one of the things I do in my business is I feel like I have to promote it. And sometimes I tell people, I say, you know, I do this, and I'm really good at it. Here, look at some of the things I've done. Now, that's part of promotion. But you know what I enjoy much more is when I do a good job and someone looks at that and says, wow, that was terrific. Thank you. This is some of the best work I've seen. It's different from when I say, hey, I'm really good at this, as opposed to someone saying, wow, this was great. Thank you. This really helped us. This met a need. So a humble spirit brings honor, true honor from others. Pride can't do that. Pride can't do that. So those are some of the warnings, and we know that there's more. So what is the problem with pride? What's the issue? Is it wrong to be proudful? Next, we're going to go to Mark 7 and look at what Jesus said here. Put up the whole, there's three segments here, the whole thing. Thank you. So Jesus is talking about how life works here, and the human heart, and what comes out of the heart. What comes out of a person is what defiles him, what comes out of his heart. For from within the heart, from within, out of the heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. There's 13 things there that come out of the human heart. All these things come from within and they defile a person. As a Christian, the connection with God and His truth and the Holy Spirit is bringing things from outside of us and having them grow in our lives. Now, our tendency as humans, we can tend to obsess and dwell on things that come out of our heart. Whatever we feed will grow. And He's saying these things, if pride is on this list. So the problem is that it's a fleshly desire that has no good result coming out of our heart. So that is one of the problems. All right, so let's get your test out. Next slide, please. We're going to do a little diagnosis. So we've talked about pride. We talked about what the struggle is. Now, this is very hard, and I want your opinion because I don't know if I have a good answer to this yet. So if you're struggling with pride, if this is an issue, how can you tell? Let's make a few notes and we'll share here because I think it's a tough thing. If you're struggling with pride, if you can't figure that out, if someone you know is struggling with pride, how can you tell? Go ahead and make a few notes. That is an excellent point. Yes. Yep. It's an excellent point in that I've seen that happen in that sometimes we're trying to compensate for an insecurity. They can be very connected. There was a guy I was working with, actually one of my when I was working for the construction company, one of the job sites I managed, one of my employees had actually insulted one of the customer's managers. And I met with him and apologized to him because that's the thing you don't do. And he looked at me and he said, his pride was hurt. His pride was hurt. And he said, I will not take that type of behavior. I go, you're right. And that was inappropriate. You're right. I agree. And I know what I'm doing. Yeah, I know you do. This is your whole department. He He ran the whole utilities division of this site, which was hundreds of acres and a bunch of buildings. And he says, I know what I'm doing, and I'm in charge, and everyone works for me. I go, yeah, I agree. And I just agreed with him, and he kept talking, and I just let him talk. The apples of gold, just ask questions and just listening. And he went from, I'm in charge and I know what I'm doing. He said, I am really nervous. My supervisors are going to find out. I don't know how to run this department. And I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm having whiplash. This is within 10 minutes of a conversation. So out of this bravado, I know what I'm doing, there's an insecurity of I'm scared that someone's going to find out I'm not sure I'm doing a good job. So I need to build myself up. So that's the human heart is very complex. That's an astute observation, Jim. So back to our test. How can you tell if pride is your issue? Is an issue? And there's more than one answer. Gwen, what do you think? Yeah. Perceptive, yeah. There's a focus on yourself, an inordinate focus on yourself. What else? Any others? What do you think, Jonathan? Yeah, or anyone else's ideas. To even consider someone else's ideas is very difficult. What do you think, John? Yeah, and that's some of what Jim was talking about. If we need to put someone down, a lot of times it's because we're trying to make ourselves look better. Yeah, what do you think, Foster? Yeah, yeah, it really reveals what's in there. Any other thoughts? Yeah, yeah. Who wants to think that we're not that good? That's terrible. What do you think, Dana? Right. Yes. So I think these are all really good, and thank you for participating. I think a focus on self, where you see that. If it's hard to go, I've been thinking about this. In this interaction, what's best for the other person? What's best? Why did God arrange this situation? What's best for them in this interaction that we could have an interaction on spiritual things? What would help their life? Can you think about someone else and what's best for them? If you're busy defending yourself, and if you need to be defended or elevated right now, today, soon, that's something is happening in your heart. It may be pride. It may be something else. This is very, if you're caught in the middle of that, honest, it's very hard to diagnose. It's very difficult. I know I've done it repeatedly. Like, oh my gosh, what did I do? Oh my God, you know, later. Sometimes having a friend or a spouse or someone you trust to go, hey, here's what's going on. Talk about, what do you think? It's easier for someone else to see. I know I've made many mistakes in this area. So, all right, so what's the solution? Here we have the problem. Here we have the problem. Let's go to the next slide. Here is the solution, the cure. What is the cure for pride? What is God's answer? And there's lots of encouragement in the New Testament about how to do this in the Old Testament too, but we're going to look at mostly verses in the New Testament. Do nothing from selfish ambition. Pride is a selfish ambition. It's promoting yourself and trying to validate yourself, trying to get something for yourself. Do nothing for selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. Count others more important. Others' welfare, others' benefit more significant than yourselves. Now, I know in evangelical Christianity, we're really good at this. Let's go to the next slide, Janelle. This is what we do. We always say, stop doing bad things. Right? We say it all the time. Whatever you're doing, if it's bad, stop it. We're excellent at that. And it's easy to say and hard to do. How do you do that? And really, that's an oversimplification. If you start to recognize this, then there's another step that is pretty clear, is to put on a new way. Is to put on a new way is not only resist, repent, and turn, but do a new path. Do a new path, do a new way. And part of that is from transforming your thinking. Our thinking needs to change. If we struggle with that, and you know, it's funny, I'll share a story later. I'm teaching this like, hey, I got this. Well, I don't. And I think the Lord is showing me more and more how often I make this mistake. And he gave me the example I'll share later just this week, where my pride got a little hurt. And my first impulse is to hit back. And I go, well, my thinking needs to change about what is best for them and how can I help them and what does the Lord want out of this. So, what happens? You start to see this in your life and you go, wow, this is pretty self-focused. Maybe you see this. I know I see it. Next slide. What do you do? What's the first step? Well, first step, if you see something, confess it to the Lord. The Lord is not standing over you trying to oppress your life. He is going, hey, let's pull all the negative, destructive things out of your life and let's get something good growing here. These things hurt you because there's no satisfaction in them, and you get preoccupied with them. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. He is faithful and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He will do this because He wants you to. You're clean in His eyes. You have the righteousness of His Son. You just haven't realized it yet. And He's washing these things. I pray, that's God, wash all this out of my life. That I don't act this way again. I see that. So confess it, and then next slide, put on the new way. You need to actively put on the new way. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. If you're prideful, you can't be compassionate. You're busy standing on the beach with your shirt off going, hey, look at me. Hard to be compassionate when you're trying to get people to look at you. Kindness, humility, and meekness. That is what we have to put on. What would help the other person? Next slide, Ephesians 4:2. Very similar. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Part of living a Christian life in community, of being on mission for God together. We're together to reach our friends, to reach our family, to point to God and say, God exists. That's our mission. That's what God has called every Christian to do with all that they have, God, and live a life for Him. And if the mission is most important, there are times we will say, I don't need to be validated now. What's good for them now? And we will bear with one another. What do they need right now? Let's go to Acts 20. So this is the standard that's being laid out for us. To serve with all humility, with tears. Because there's trials. This is... In this case, trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. People were plotting to stop Paul and what he was doing. They were plotting to oppose him, and it was very difficult. Really more difficult than our lives, most of us. He had great struggles, but he says, I serve the Lord with great humility and do that. So what is this new way? This new way. Last verse. new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, that you care for one another. When you're prideful, you don't care for other people. You care for yourself first. You're busy. But the problem is, I know when it happens to me, I don't see it. I don't see it right away. I see it later. It becomes more obvious. I give you a new commandment to love. It says, I have loved you. Christ is an amazing example. Here, the creator of the universe came and took on all the limitation of human flesh, not only to die for our sins, but to live a life here and serve others. He didn't say, hey, look at me. I'm in charge of everything. I created everything. You should listen. He said he went in a humble way everywhere and took those who responded to him. And let everyone choose. What a humble thing for the creator of the universe to do. So, I was on Facebook this week, and you know how this is online. And I have three drones in my business. And one of them is made for industrial inspection. And God does this with me, I don't know why, I encountered the marketing guy for this company who makes this drone, and I'm part of this networking group of drone pilots, and one guy was asking, he says, hey, is this drone as good as this drone? And I'm just interacting. I says, well, it depends. It depends what you're doing. It's good at this because it's made for inspection, but the color, I said, the color isn't too good, but it's not made for that. But if you're doing cinematic work, if you're trying to take shots, it doesn't work too well. And the vice president of marketing of the company who makes this drone got online and said, hey, what do you know about lighting and color and and kind of attacked me online, and my pride got hurt. In my heart, I go, what do you mean, what do I know? I know I'm a drone pilot. I do stuff all around the country. How dare you? No, I didn't type all that in. But that's what's going on in my heart. I go, you know, I do have a fair amount of experience. He doesn't know what I know and don't know. That's kind of insulting. That's my fleshly response. Now, I've encountered this guy before. We have a relationship. We talked about doing some work together. And I type some things in and I go, here's some issues with your drone, dude, that need to be fixed. And I'm right, because there are limitations in it to developing, and it says, you need to fix ABC. And I typed it in and hit send, and I realized, this is, you know what I'm doing? My pride got hurt. And I'm hitting back in a subtle, intellectual way. And I go, oh, Lord, that's just wrong. And I go, you know, I'm probably going to meet this guy again one day, and we might do something together. And here we might divide over this relationship over some technical thingy online. And I sent him a note. I says, look, I'm not your enemy. I'm sorry. I apologize. He says, I'm just trying to be honest. The guy's asking, does this do this or this? And I'm just trying to be honest. And I said, I think it's, you know, and I'm trying, I said, well, you know, what I want is, I don't want to lose the chance for the Lord to use me in a relationship to plant a seed about spiritual things because we disagreed about some technical thingy. And in my flesh, I went a little too far because my pride got hurt. His pride got hurt too. I said that what he does for a living, which is his living, his little, wasn't good at this, you know. And I go, well, what did it matter? So both of our, and we got into this little cat fight. So I go, I backed up. So here's, last slide. Here's this template for your life. If you find that you do that, and it won't be about, it'll be in a different way. If you recognize, hey, I did this, or I'm about to do this, I'm about to do that, recognize that it's hard for God to use that. Turn from it. Turn from it and put on humility. How can I help and serve the other person? How do they benefit? Do I need to be proven right today? Do I need to see this? Do I need to be justified today? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was accused wrongly every time, every time. But he stood before accusers and said nothing. They were not seeking the truth. There were times he didn't respond. He will be shown to be right in the end. But he didn't need to be proven and shown right in that time. Put on humility and ask yourself, how can I care for this other person here? I'm not saying you need to let people walk all over you. There's times you need boundaries. But if it's pride, say, how can I care for the other person here? Why don't we pray and we'll have the music team come up. God, thank you. Thank you for your example that when you came here, there was no one more humble than you, no one who had a higher position who came here to take on all of our struggles and to live a life where we could see what it means to put others first. Please help us to learn how to follow you in that. Amen.